Welcome to another edition of Father Time. We have a really, really special show today.
It's exciting.
Andy? Yeah.
It's exciting. This is a first.
It's not a father.
It's
crazy. What? We have a mother today.
I'm
joined as always by my producer and co-host, Mr. Andy Lerner.
How are ya?
Who has no kids, by the way. I always tell the guests he's the voice of reason here, but he's also a
great.
So when you go, oh, why did I have kids? And you see Andy, you go, oh,
maybe this is why
having kids is a good thing.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know it was working like that. But
yeah, no, it's very strong. It's working very strong.
I want to have more kids at this point.
I just got pregnant since
It wasn't me. My wife will be upset about that.
No, it wasn't either of you.
People are already, they already know.
We
have a woman.
That explains a lot.
We're old friends. I've known you for a long time, 20 years or so. We go back. And I was lucky enough to be on your new show recently, show called I'm Sorry on True TV, but people would also know you from episodes, from Veep, from iZombie, and 1 million other shows that you've done. My guest today, Miss Andrea Savage, is joining us.
Welcome.
Yay! I couldn't be more thrilled to be a father today.
I'm pretty excited. You're on Father Time.
I love being a father.
I know. You're kind of you've always broken molds, and you're breaking another one today.
And I have been many times accused of having a penis.
Yeah.
Or at least balls.
Yeah. I feel like just a couple of testicles. At least one. There's one testicle down there somewhere.
Oh, I feel like I've earned two.
Maybe two.
And I feel like there's a shaft. I feel like it's all there.
It's small.
It's petite.
Give her a penis for crying out loud.
You can have a giant cock. What do I care? You can say whatever you want. your new show, I'm Sorry, just premiered.
We are
having this. Your second episode will be on tomorrow, but this will come out next week before the third episode.
Okay.
Which is the fourth episode. Yeah, because it went two, one.
That's
all.
And wait, I'm trying to think. Okay, so Jamie is on my show.
That's right.
He plays Gavin, who works with my husband Mike, played by Tom.
Didn't know my name, but I'm Gavin.
We say it.
I don't listen to other actors.
That's true.
I have no skills.
No, that became very apparent, especially in the edit room. Oof, rough.
You're lucky to get one take.
A little bit?
Oh, yeah. No, he's no longer actually featured on camera.
I'm not even in the show.
It's just a voiceover.
And it's not even my voice. It's some other guy. It's a grip.
The editor.
It's the editor's voice. CGI, hey, I'm here.
CGI'd a better actor.
I feel like here's how this hour is going to go. I'm going to be beaten.
No.
Like a redheaded stepchild that I am.
Then I can join in and switch everything up.
She beats me. She can beat people good.
I feel like that's what's expected, and I'm going to come around and be really wonderful.
Oh, give the people what they want. That's how you got a show on TV.
We've known each other a very long time.
That's true.
I was just saying this the other day, that if I'm super nice to you, I probably don't like you.
I said that to somebody the other day.
Right?
He was like, you're so mean. I go, I only fuck with people who can hang. If you can't hang with
I love you, I'm going to be so mean. But like in a way of, I respect you and be mean back to me.
It's such a fine line with respect. And sometimes we leave and we go, did she respect me? And we go, no, probably not. But she was really mean. for people who have watched the show, now the show is I'm Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's on True TV. It airs a bunch. Go record it and go back and watch them all.
Yep.
Tell people about the show.
Basically, it's sort of in the vein of like a Master of None or Louis or that kind of thing, where it's a single point of view show. But it's basically I play a version of myself. It's real stories from my life. I think that they're sort of out there stories that have really happened to me, but they're still very relatable.
Well, let's bring up one story then from the pilot. There's a girl
I find out that I have a daughter in real life and a daughter on the show. Weird. Seamless transition.
It's weird.
Seamless.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. I've really stretched myself. And I find out that her friend's mom, who's now changed her name and gone into a different profession, used to be a very famous, well-known anal porn star.
I love it's not just porn star. That
played,
was like her special.
And I might add, played by the uber-talented
Jillian Vigman.
Jillian Vigman's amazing.
Just saw her last night.
I feel like a lot of porn stars do anal.
She, though,
that was like her
primarily all anal. That was her thing.
She started
that was
right
her
there.
Claim to fame.
That was minute just, one. Let's I, go I mean, climb in the back door.
I wasn't involved in the beginning minutes, so I can't say if there was a learning curve. But as I say in the pilot,
yeah.
Played by Jillian Bigman, and also the woman in real life did not have a very large breast situation.
Yeah, so she had.
So I was like, you know what? I think if you want to get into porn and you don't have a lot of breast, you would naturally just use your assets and, you know, turn over and take it in the butt.
Literally use your, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's pretty, it's good work.
And then basically I found this out and I didn't tell anyone for a year and a half. In the show, it's much more truncated.
How did you find out?
Literally the way it happened in the show. I was playing poker with somebody who works in her current profession who was like, I just had the weirdest day. I just found out this woman I work with used to be an anal porn star and said her name.
You keep, I can tell you're a woman because dudes, a dude would never go, oh, I took a look at this anal porn star. They're just, Andrea, they're porn stars.
No, no, no. I really feel like.
That's like saying ski, I guess downhill skier over ski jumper, but see, that's her specialty.
Over alpine.
I've never heard anyone call anyone, Andy.
Anal
I mean, you're
star?
A single
Am
guy
I
without
an expert
kids.
In this situation?
I'm pretty sure.
You're an expert in this room.
I guarantee you know the most about porn of anyone.
I feel like if somebody has worked hard to.
Good at it.
She was very good at it. She was very popular and successful. And she's worked hard to create a niche market.
Is it hard to be a porn star?
I just have to really. I have to say yes.
You have
I don't
to open
know.
Up to any opportunity coming your way.
Apparently. Any opportunity and all opportunities. She was prolific. there's things I can now.
Was your daughter a friend of her child?
Yeah, they weren't super close friends, but yeah, they were in preschool.
Did
together.
You keep her? Were you like guarded to go like, hey, maybe
no.
you shouldn't hang?
They weren't so close that she was going over and doing play dates.
Would you? You would? I would draw the line.
Not, I will say, I actually had no problem with the porn part. There were other things that I found out about her. Whatever around this that would have been more concerning to me.
Oh, really? She just wasn't an anal porn star who was also working
lovely.
On a cooking book
yeah.
and graduated from Columbia.
She wasn't Jillian Bigman. No, she was actually lovely. She really was, and she had pulled her life together. But there was an ex-husband.
You're saying it like her life was falling apart. Maybe that was an active choice.
No,
maybe it was a summer out of Harvard, and she was like, you know what? I'm going to get into the business.
So anyway, but I became obsessed with her butthole for a good year and a half where I literally just couldn't stop. Anytime I saw her, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was just like, is she okay? What state is it in? Then I found out
she looks like she's limping. There's a weird walk.
Yeah. Well, or she'd be like, hey, can you watch blah, blah, blah. I'm going to run to the bathroom. We were at the science center for like a field trip. And I was like, oh, what's going to happen in there? I was just like, does it even stay in? Like, is it just a fast?
It's like she eats a Snickers bar and immediately just right down the chute.
So I had so many questions that I never could get answers to. But I still have so many questions. And then she had a handicap placard on her car for a while, which I could only assume her butthole had fallen out. And my husband, of course, because I was doing all these theories to him, was just like, what are you even fucking saying? So that's the pilot.
But buttholes do fall out because you talk about
out.
That in the show.
They 100% fall out. It happened to someone in my family. I'm not.
Well, they don't
100%
because I still have mine's hanging in there.
No, not
everyone.
Not everyone's butthole falls out, but 100% yes, Ed butthole has the ability to fall out. Yeah. Let me be clear.
Yes. Okay.
My doctor actually said to me once, "You're lucky, buttholes can actually fall out."
Are you serious?
Yes.
See. This is what I'm saying.
Now, if Andy told me his butthole fell out, I would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like,
it is more common.
I'm going to post a picture of you so that people will go, yeah, that guy looks like his butthole
that
fell
that
out.
That makes sense.
Let's start a quiz online to see who votes for my
butthole. Do you know
anyone
who's had their butthole fall out?
Yes, there's someone in my family, and I will not say who it is.
It's called prolapse, right?
It's a rectal prolapse.
It's prolapse in the show we talk
and
about.
And it's a very simple surgery. This is how I think of it in my head, like a sock that falls out of your butt. So it's like
it's hanging
and it's kind of inverted.
Yeah.
And then they just jam it back up sewy like a curtain. I feel like it's like sew, and then they pull the strings and then it just goes bleep. That's how I imagine it.
I love sewy. That might be my favorite.
It's much more romantic.
That
the
would
way
be a
you,
band.
You
that's such a good
it.
Band name.
Sewy.
But that's what the show's about.
Yeah,
and
so
that's
the
what's
pilot.
Great. I mean, when you watch a show, the stories are insane, but you go, there's no way that didn't happen. You go to a dance class and some old woman tells you to go fuck yourself.
9 o'clock in the morning.
And you're like, what did you just say?
I just turned the air conditioning on. She turns around and told me to go fuck myself.
The whole time I was watching, I was like, well, that's obviously not made up because there's no way somebody makes that
up. And that's
up.
Judith Light playing it.
And Judith Light. That's what's amazing about your show, too. There's so many. Judy Greer. Like, everybody's
Judy Greer's
in it.
Jason Mantzoukas is in it. June Squibb is in the pilot.
She's hilarious.
Jamie Kaler's in it.
He shows up for
Gary
a
Anthony
coffee.
Williams.
Gary Anthony Williams
Gary
is
Anthony
in it.
Williams. Tom Everett Scott. Who's going to come do this show.
Plays my husband. Yeah. And coming in the season, Alison Tolman plays my best friend. Nick Kroll's in it. Paul Scheer's in it. Lizzie Kaplan's in it. Rebecca Henderson, Steve Zissis.
Name dropper.
I know. I begged everyone.
You,
it was really, really
But fun. You do know everybody in town.
I'm an old, old woman. And by say that,
you
I
are
mean,
not.
You are very, very old.
I'm historically
You were old.
Old
when I first met
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was the creepy old weird guy who was yeah. in. Yeah, who
do we tell them?
Do we tell them what?
That
we were friends?
That we were friends?
Yeah.
Cool.
It won't matter. We were in an acting class together, and everyone knows what happens with people in acting classes.
Jamie and I dated.
We dated a little bit.
We dated a long time. I think I was 24. Was I 24? 26?
Probably, because that's the only age I'll date. What happened, Jamie? It all fell apart.
Wow.
And I was 51 at the time.
And he was 51 at the time.
I think I took you aside and said, hey, I can tutor you.
That guy in comes, your butt.
It comes off.
Let's
creepy.
Work on some scenes at my apartment.
We were in acting class. I think I was on Sweet Valley High at the time.
You did Sweet
I
Valley
think I was
High.
24.
Yep, and I just was I just wanted to hang with celebrities, and so I tried to get with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, super famous.
You were doing a crazy accent. Well, let's go back because you grew up here.
I grew up in L.A.
You're a Los Angeles.
I'm a Valley girl.
No,
you're a Valley
girl.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents were wonderful. I met your dad. And
I was going to say, you met all my family
back in the day. And talk about growing up here. Because you weren't in the business side of the street.
No,
you
one in my family. I was very academic. No one in my family was in the business.
Kind
I grew
of a dork.
In...
You were kind of a nerdy dork.
Nope.
Oh, I nope. That was somebody else.
Yeah, that was a different 24-year-old.
Oh, that was Andy. I'm sorry, Andy. I got you guys
I've
confused.
I've always been this age.
For a second.
Sometimes I wish I had that like backstory. Like I was such a nerdy dork. I wasn't. I was fine. I was pretty happy, relatively popular-ish.
Yeah.
But I was very academic, and I never was going to be in the entertainment business. I didn't know anyone in the entertainment business, which is strange for growing up in LA. But I didn't, and I was like, that would be super lame. And I had a lot of judgment on it. Like, it would be so irresponsible. That's just not a thing I would do. And then I went to Cornell, where I was pre-law. And then while I was there...
I was pre-law, too. Boy, it really got us far, didn't it?
Yeah.
Pre-law was basically a poli-sci degree.
It was poli-sci,
yeah. Pretty much.
And then I was there, and I did study abroad in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in Spain, in the south of Spain, by myself, with a family that did not even speak the word of English of Andrea. Like, my mom would call and ask for Andrea, and they didn't know what she was saying. They could have just been mean dicks.
I feel like that's just Spanish dickishness.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. The family I lived with, the dad was weird. Yeah, yeah. She would go out of town a lot, and I'd be left alone in the apartment with the dad.
He was probably the one who was like, hey, you know what we should do? We should get a student to live with us. And you're going to keep up your travel schedule, of course, right? Maybe somebody young, like a college girl from America. She should be pretty. A great figure. You know, that kind of stuff. And then you should definitely travel as much as humanly possible.
You and our daughter should leave town every weekend.
Is that what happened?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Did he hit on you?
He was just weird, and he would bring over his friends, and they would be like, come over and like drink with us. And I'd be like, no. And I'd hide in my room and kind of like push furniture in front of it. Yeah.
Really creepy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like
I
when
never
you
heard
met
this
her.
Story before. Yeah. Yeah.
And she felt the same way about you.
She would listen. She would go in the other room and put the furniture. That was her thing. I was like, what are you moving the furniture around for?
That was just my thing.
I'll tell you next week.
I haven't thought about him in a long time, and he did not speak a word of English, and he was weird, but he was also dorky at the same time, so like he wasn't going to full on, like I never felt really unsafe. Like I always felt like I could take him.
Those are always the ones that get you.
I know.
It's but like Ted Bundy was the nicest guy on earth. Everyone said he was such a good guy, and he was a lawyer.
Yeah,
that's how it goes. And then all of a sudden, you're buried in
Jose Luis.
Barcelona somewhere.
Yeah, I was in Sevilla with Jose Luis, and he drank a lot, and he didn't have a job, but his wife worked in a bank, and they had like a 7-year-old, and she would go away every weekend with the 7-year-old, and. and she made the money, and he would be like, I would be walking to like call it to go to like my classes through this big park in Sevilla, and he'd just always be in there like drinking in the middle of the day. It wasn't great thinking back now.
What a weird internship program.
It was a very strange study. Study abroad is such a strange thing. You go and you live with people that are not vetted really to any level, and you just put your like kids in these people's homes, and they're supposed to feed you.
Would you let your daughter go do that?
Probably.
Would you not? Like, your parents didn't go with you to see where you were?
No, this was back when, like, no one went with you anywhere. Yeah, it was like, I'll see you in 7 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you, like, I now that I
now that you have a child.
Now I have two kids, I'd be like, not a chance in hell. I would go with them.
My mom came and visited right before it was over. So she came, like, 6 months
in. Oh, I would have gone right at the start. Oh, yeah. Met everybody and said, okay.
Oh, God, no.
Or get back on the plane. We're out.
No.
Is that guy just going to sit in the park and drink all day? All right, get back on the plane. We're out of here.
No. But that was, I mean, that's when we didn't even really have email. Like, I would wait for letters to arrive. That's
God,
how old
so
I am.
Old.
You're Yeah. And you're fucking older than I am. That's the only reason I can say
by
it.
By a long shot.
Yeah.
I tell kids, it's like, I grew up without a cell phone.
So oh, yeah.
When we lost people at a concert, you made new friends. That's how that show went.
Well, I always say, God, we totally sound like old people. But I always say, like, because I lived
don't
in
let
Spain.
Me get involved.
She's not old.
Don't let me so get involved funny. In this.
Yeah.
But I remember when I lived in Spain, there were other people, friends of mine, who were doing study abroad in other countries. And you would make a plan like 4 months in advance and be like, April 16th, I'm going to meet you in Berlin at like this corner. And you'd be there on April 14th and you hadn't spoken since January. Like, yeah. That's just what it was. And you just showed up.
Now kids just tweet and flash mob. Is that still a thing, flash
no,
mobs?
No, God, that was embarrassing.
Was that 12 years? I told you, she's going to pommel me for an hour. It's going to be awful.
That was really embarrassing.
Get off my lawn.
One can only hope.
So I went away to school. And then while I was in study abroad, I was like, ugh, I feel like I kind of need to try this. But I don't want to try it, but I'll do it.
Did you do plays or anything as a little kid?
I did. Yeah. I did plays through high school, junior high, through college. I did theater the whole time.
Right.
And so it was, but I was like, I would never do it. And then I was like, I kind of want to try it. I'll hate it. I'll do it a year. Then I'll go back to school. And then I just kind of got sucked in and like never could fucking get out. And then if I ever wanted to get out, it was too late.
Well, you made a fatal error. You started working.
Yeah.
That's usually the key.
Yeah. I started working kind of early-ish. And then after that didn't work kind of for a long time. I mean, I worked here and there, but so it sucked me in and then spit me out. But then I was already in.
That's the problem. Once you're in, like now, yeah. I sometimes I'm like, I'll go get another job. I have no other
what
skills.
What would you do?
I have nothing.
At your age?
Nothing. I mean, I guess I could. Like,
you have one choice.
I could pack bags at the grocery store.
I don't even think you'd be great at that, to be honest.
I don't think I would.
No.
I'd like 20 minutes in, I'd be like, what? This is boring. I gotta get.
You'd be like yelling at people for like not
this
cleaning out their bags.
This is what you're gonna eat? This shit?
Yeah. Or just no, be like, no
take,
fucking your.
Take these back.
Yeah.
You're not having these.
No. You're paying for new bags.
What? What would I do?
Honestly, I'm being honest. You have no other skills.
No.
I mean, I think children. You're doing a great job raising children. I think you seem like
you're
a great dad.
Maybe I should start a daycare.
You actually, no, because you'd hate other people's kids. I think you love yours.
Well, first
but
of all, I don't like
people's.
Other people.
No. You have to do something without other people.
I don't like other people at
and
all.
Especially other people's kids. I was thinking about how when my daughter was in kindergarten, there was this little girl that I hated. And I was like, this is not okay for me to have these feelings towards a five-year-old.
I feel that way about most other children.
I know.
Honestly, sometimes I feel that way about my own kids.
Well, of course, yeah.
We were just talking about it because my daughter's three. Your daughter's at seven now?
No, she's eight.
Eight. Everyone says terrible twos, but honestly, the three, she's horrible.
No.
She literally
three and a
says
half
no.
To five.
Sticks her tongue out and laughs at me, and I go, you're going to be punished. She goes, it's almost like, go ahead, let's see what you can do.
I remember going to my daughter's four-year-old checkup and being like, what has happened to my angel child? She's being such a dick. And my doctor was very cool. She was like, or you could think of it another way, that she's really just learning who she is and expressing herself and really like understanding the power of no. And I was like, oh, fuck that. No.
That's a horrible trait. How do you punish them?
I have a daughter who really follows the rules. So even when she was being an asshole, if I gave her like the look or if I really like was like, hey, she would pull it together.
Would you verbally just destroy her?
No. But if I got mad at her and if like gave her like the very calm but very angry look, that usually would pull her together. Or I would just ignore it. I would just be like, okay, well, you can sit there and cry. I'm going to be over here and I'm not interested.
I ignore that.
I ignore it a lot.
Where you're like, it, yeah, I try to have logical conversations.
Oh, no.
Where I'm
no
like,
logic.
Why are you doing that?
No. Terrible.
Think about it.
No, think about what? What do you want her to think about?
She'll have a meltdown, and I go, look, here are your two choices. You can stay in here, have a meltdown. You'll wreck the night. Or you can put on your pajamas. Do what we ask you to do, and then come out, and we'll all have fun and watch a TV show. And I go, that's a pretty simple choice. And she's like, no, go fuck yourself.
Assume that they're on meth. Like, assume you're talking to someone who is on meth.
Basically, it's just like talking to any of your comic friends.
It's every comic friend.
Yeah, they're all on meth.
Well, that's what's funny.
None of them are rational.
You're also a sane person, and you didn't want to get into acting, and all of a sudden you fall into acting, and you also fall into acting with Comedy World, the craziest comedy people, Will Ferrell, all the people that you're kind of done all these movies with, which are the craziest people on earth.
Well, Will is actually very not crazy.
He's actually like
the most normal, lovely person.
But every
person.
Other comic we know is insane.
Do you think so, though? I feel
or are they
like
crafty?
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot more sanies in there than you think that I found.
I mean, I feel like I'm sane for a
Oh, no,
comic.
You're not one of them.
No, of course not.
No. No.
See, Andy, and I tell you, it's going to keep coming back.
Sorry, I should have been much more clear.
I got confused for a second. I felt good about myself.
No, you're one of the crazies.
Yeah.
But in my life of the people
I'm
hang out with.
I'm thinking she should co-host this show.
Co-host it. She can just take the show. It's now father time with Andrea Savage. That's how the show. What happened to Kaler? Didn't work out for him. Just didn't really work out
she
for him.
She beat him to
she
a pulp.
She beat him
to a
to
pulp.
In his fatherhood.
But
I fell into comedy, which I'm so great. I mean, so thankful. And it's Chris Parnell from that same acting class
that's
that we were
right.
in. He was the one who said, you should try out for Groundlings. He was in the Groundlings at the time.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like, oh, what's Groundlings? I did not know. My school didn't have improv, didn't have any of that stuff. Or if it did, I had no idea about it. And I went and I saw a show at Groundlings and Jennifer Coolidge was in it. And I was like, oh my God, she's amazing.
Yeah.
What is this? And then I auditioned, and then that's what got me into comedy. And then I went through the company there. Then I got cut. My heart was broken. And then I went into stand-up, and I did my first stand-up show at Jamie Kaler's stand-up
that's
show.
Right.
That was the first time I ever did stand-up.
Did you think you were funny before you went to the Groundlings?
Yes, I did.
You
I
were
think
funny.
I knew I was funny.
You were always funny. We would do scenes in the class, and you would do a comedy scene. I mean, that was, you know, that was the attraction as well as When somebody's good looking and funny, it's I mean, come
no,
on,
thank you, Jamie.
It's over the top.
It's a rare thing.
See, she pummels me, and I put her up on a pedestal.
Only on the microphone.
Well, it's
are you putting me off the
torture.
Mic? He tears
it's
me.
More fun when she's way up there. And you're
it is true though. In Hollywood, if you're good looking and you're funny, as a woman, it's a great pocket, and that's
it's
I mean, you have a show. They gave you a show.
Well, 100 years
later.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked very very hard and had a lot of shows.
Yes, of course.
That have not gone.
Yeah,
many.
We don't have to talk about this.
We don't have to talk about this. But yeah, so that's what got me into comedy, and then did stand up. But improv, I would say, was the number one thing that sort of honed me into finding my comedic voice.
You always were an improv person, though, because we would always riff. That whole group of people we hung with.
Yeah.
If you couldn't, we talked about it earlier. If you can't hang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people go, oh, you're being a dick. And you're like, nah, we're just, that's the way we are.
Yeah.
We screw with each other. And if you can't take it and up and top somebody else, then you're going to fall by the wayside.
You're going to fall. Yeah. And so,
it
was just sort of like, you do the same thing. You kind of find like the slightly exaggerated version of yourself and fall into that pocket. And then you can branch out here or there a little bit more, but it's kind of, you kind of stay.
My natural life is so exaggerated that I actually have to pull back. On camera, I have to try to be less because otherwise people go, nobody's that insane. It's too broad. It's too unbelievable.
I have to go.
No.
I just remembered.
Nothing better than dead air when you say stuff.
Yeah. I just remembered. I actually.
She's so vicious, isn't she?
My car.
She's so mean. She's such
just
a
got
mean.
Keyed.
Did it get keyed? Just,
I mean, I think since I've been in here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did. It was probably one of my kids, to be honest with you. Probably
By
Hannah,
the way,
Hannah
your kids. Thing. I walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
These two kids run up. And get in my arms. Mm. I literally started almost crying. It was the sweetest thing
they
I've
don't
ever.
Do it with Andy.
Please,
they cry.
Don't let
when Andy
them
walks
do it
in, they cry.
I have to say something. This is for real. This today is the first day your kids ever talked to me. Ever.
What's happening? They're really.
I think our previous guest had puppies.
Oh, it loosened him up. By the way, that's how molesters loosen them up.
What's a butt? Here, when I come see my puppies in my van.
And look, it works. Look how affectionate they got after this.
Next week, Andy will come up with a puppy. He'll have a puppy.
I'll pretend there's a podcast and come to your house.
Yeah. By the way, this was just like a psychiatric experiment because someone brought puppies. Your kids, who are not normally affectionate or particularly friendly to strange men, literally getting in his lap.
Or, I think they were just happy
women.
To see a woman.
I don't
they weren't
know
happy
that
to see a woman
I've
come in.
I've seen them affectionate in general.
They literally both just climbed into my arms. It was like these two angels.
It was pretty sweet.
It was very sweet. Yeah. I never knew if I'd see the day where you had kids.
Nobody
actually
did.
Actually, I
did. Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nobody. Everyone to this day still goes, I still can't believe you have children.
I could.
Yeah.
I can believe it.
Well, believe it because it really happened.
I know. And you are obsessed with them.
I love them so much. Yeah. It hurts inside.
I know. It's very sweet, but it's a bit much. But yeah.
I got to pull back a little bit. You grew up in the Valley.
Yep.
You didn't want to act. You fell in act. What were your parents like when you were a kid? Were they strict? Or were
my parents got divorced when I was two.
And your mom remarried.
My mom met my stepdad 3 weeks after my dad left. So she really waited.
Great timing.
She waited. She waited an appropriate amount of time. 3 weeks.
For that.
And my stepdad was very strict. My dad, he had visitation, so I didn't see him that much, but I would go there on weekends, this and that. But I don't know. I had like a really sort of boring, very normal Valley, like childhood.
Was it weird to split? I mean, do you think about that with your kids? Cause with your child, cause I sometimes think about like my wife and I will have a fight or something. I'm like, look, we're never breaking up. We're together because I can't see the kids half the time, even though some days I would love that. But I feel like our parents, like my parents, they had six kids. There was never a chance they were going to get divorced.
Oh yeah. No, my parents got divorced and then my dad got divorced again.
So it's him. It's his fault.
Well, no, but it's weird because I think because I grew up with parents who got divorced and it seemed like such a good idea. Like I was like, thank God they
split
got divorced.
Custody.
But he didn't want custody.
Oh,
so
really?
He had visitation, so I would see him a weekend, a month or something. And
what was that like? Did he have an apartment
he had a house, but like we didn't really have a room. Like it wasn't great. It was fine.
To be like, it must just be weird. I can't even imagine my kids like packing a suitcase and then like going, where are you going? I'm going to stay with my dad for a couple days.
Yeah, but
and he tried to like, let's go bowling. Go to McDonald's. Like dad.
I don't want to like shit on my dad because my dad is great in many ways. But he wasn't really saying, let's go bowling either. It was just sort of like, we just hang around and he'd be like, go outside and don't come back in till it's dark.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't. Like, so my older brother and I would just like go out in his yard and like hang out.
Some people just aren't cut out for parenting.
I just don't think it was a different time.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother and then I have three younger half brothers.
Half brothers.
Yeah, yeah. Because both my parents got divorced and all had more kids.
Right.
And they're all great and I'm close with all of them and they're awesome. You know them all.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's an episode that's about a friend of mine, Alison Tolman's character, is going through a divorce on the show. Mm-hmm. And I do have a fantasy about being a divorcee. I think I would.
Oh, no, we all do.
Crush it. But I also think I would be particularly good at it, and I don't know why. I would
kill it.
I feel like it's who I was meant to be.
My wife would kill it.
Oh.
She'd be married in a week.
No. I'm not going to get married again.
What is the skill that would make you?
I don't know. I feel like I would just really encapsulate what a divorcee should be. So I have a whole episode about me fantasizing about being a divorcee. It's sort of just like the idea
of it.
That's
the other one I'm in. Is that what the poker game is? The other one?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the episode I'm in because I remember you talking about it in the poker game, you guys. I was laughing
right,
so hard
because
I was thinking of my own wife.
Yeah,
and, you know,
but I'm not settling down right away.
You'd bounce back in a heartbeat and guys would be throwing themselves at her.
It's just sort of like, I don't know. There's something sort of in it. I talk about how like there's just a divorcee. Like it's a woman who like isn't afraid to walk into a bank and demand a small business loan. Like it's just like, you know what I mean? Like it's just this
Helen
Gurley
Brown, it feels like.
Yeah, it's just like a woman who's the first woman to wear pants in a small Midwestern town. And she just has her own rules.
But is she liberally dating?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or is she banging it out?
Both.
Like key parties.
Not key parties, because key parties I think you have to be married for.
Yeah, but you'd be the one single chick at the party.
No, not
interested.
And the guys
would be looking for your keys in the
bowl. No, not interested. No.
Sound like you know a lot about key parties.
I don't, but
I mean, I know
a
you
friend
Hollywood
of mine
types.
Does.
You Hollywood types.
But I do think because my parents got divorced and I was sort of like, well, yeah, they should have. I've unfortunately have a divorce sounds almost like too, it has sort of too much of a positive spin on it in my head. So I always have to remind myself, no, actually that's bad. And then I think about, oh my God, what if I only saw my daughter half the time? And then I'm like, fucking pull it together, Savage.
It would be horrible.
You gotta keep in this.
Wouldn't it be great to have like a week away?
Well, that's in my show.
From the kids.
Is the only way to have a good vacation that's really relaxing where you get to do what you want is to get divorced.
Yes.
Because they'll take them for like 2 weeks over the summer. You can get a real long European
friends,
vacation.
Like, hey, you want to go out Friday? And I go, where are the kids? They go, oh, my ex has them. And I go, part of me is like, that's great. That's really good.
Yeah. Because also, and again, I'm giving away a lot of things in my show, but basically, who else can you trust with your children other than the spouse that you no longer love? That's,
you know what's really funny is that for the longest time, and still to this day, I'm not sure if my wife totally trusts me with the kids.
What?
Like she's always like, wait, you're doing what with the kids? Because sometimes I'll be like, hey, I'm taking the kids to do something. She goes, no, just stay at home. I'll be home. I'm on my way. Like she's terrified.
You? I feel like you are like.
I'm great with the kids.
Great with
I'm
the
better,
kids.
I'm better with the kids than she is, but don't ever tell her that. Well, I'm great with the okay. kids.
You well, may you have just told her.
Amazing. She doesn't even know what I do for a living. Any job wait, I ever
what?
Take,
wait,
she's
I'm,
like.
I'm sorry. What do you do for a living?
This is it. This is all it. Andy and I are creating. I work on your
so
show.
That's fair.
This is a giant
I mean, it's
entertainment
fair that she doesn't
corporation
know.
That you've walked into, Andrea.
She'll be like that. But here's what's funny. Then I'll go, well, like, hey, I'm so and so are taking the kids or something. She's like, oh, no, you should be there. I go, but yesterday you said I was a terrible father, and now I have to be there for this. So she wobbles.
I get it. I might wobble around a little bit on that.
How's your husband with the kid?
Great. He's really good.
Better than you, right?
No.
Way better.
And
than
she's,
you.
I will. I will say because
daughters go with the father a lot. It's a daddy's little girl.
She's a mama's girl.
Is she?
Yeah. She is. Although I will say because when I was shooting the show, it was crazy, 13 weeks of craziness.
I remember.
And my husband really stepped in and really was like doing the lunches and homework and
he has a full time job.
He is a full time.
What's he doing?
Job.
He's
an agent.
He is.
So he stepped in and my mom stepped in and I amazing support
you
system.
You disappeared basically for
no because I didn't write any exterior night scenes, so we never had to shoot at night. It was a mandate across the writer's room. There's one.
What happens in this girl's world at night? Nothing.
It's interior. And you black out the windows.
And you cover windows.
Yeah. So that was a big mandate. So I wouldn't see her in the morning, but I was always home before she went to bed.
That's funny.
And she'd come to the set. So I would see her. And then weekends, I never went out. I did nothing for 3 months. Like literally, it was just at work or with her. But over that time, I will say it actually, I think, was really good for my husband and my daughter because my daughter got a lot more attached to my husband and I feel like they bonded a lot. Oh, they already had a good relationship, but she was all mommy all the time. Like if he walked in the room, if he was with her and then I walked in the room, it was like, she just was like, go fuck yourself. And
yeah.
then would like jump on me. But now actually, like, I feel like it was actually really good because he had to come in and take more care of her,
right.
like her needs versus just like, you know, popping a little bit more in and out in a great way. But it's actually kind of sweet to see.
Did you always want to have children?
I think so. Yeah. I think I always knew.
It's tough in this business.
For women.
We talk mostly to guys and the guy's like, oh, it's crazy. You know? And
so,
I go, dude,
yeah.
It's nothing for us.
No, it really isn't.
It's hard, but nothing compares.
It was hard. To sort of be like, okay, now I'm ready to do it. And it honestly, if it wasn't my husband being like, okay,
let's go.
We got to go because you're not a young person. No, he never said
you
that.
You keep pushing
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, not true.
But your husband sounds really sweet.
He actually is. He's a pretty sweet guy.
He's
yeah.
a lovely,
He might
sweet,
be one of the nicest people.
He
always remembers your name. He's so kind. Everything comes up.
He's a kind,
You kind of want to hate him, and then you're like, oh, he's such a good guy.
Yeah,
man.
I know. Yeah. It's annoying. He's very, very sweet.
Especially for an agent.
Oh, yeah. That's why I always have to tell people, they go, what are your husband doing? Let me preface it with, he's like not your typical agent. Wait, what were we just saying, though, before we got off on how amazing he is?
It's hard work.
Oh, how hard it is. So he was really like, you know, because I kept putting it off being like, oh, fuck, this show got picked up. And then
right.
I, you know.
Were you deliberately like, I can't do it right now?
Yes. And then finally it was like, all right, we got to, if we want, especially because we didn't know if we were going to have more than one.
Right.
And so it was like, we got to go. And my doctor was like, hi, my OBGYN was like, hey, so do you think you want a family? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, well then you need to be pregnant by the end of this year. And I was like, okay. And she goes, I know that you think a lot of people in your business are having babies at 40 or whatever. They're not their babies. So if you want your baby to be your baby, I was just like, Jesus Christ.
And you're like, Janet Jackson just had one at 50. What are you talking about? Yeah. And you're like, yeah. It's science.
There's some other stuff going on.
There's some weird
there.
Island
Which,
of Dr. Moreau
Which, of course, like, that's
shit.
Not always the case, but she really came down hard on me. And so...
I love that she's beating you. Your husband definitely called her. It was like, listen, you got to get on her. I know. You got to make this happen.
I mean, it was a rough appointment, Ruth. And...
How was your pregnancy?
Super great. Easy. Yeah. The first beginning, I was tired and a little nauseous, but I actually liked being pregnant. It was super easy.
My wife threw up every day for 9 months, both times.
Are you serious?
I sometimes she'll talk about a third, and I'm like, do you not remember how you almost died?
Oof.
They had to come over. We had some crazy Russian lady who had to come over and give her IVs.
IVs, yeah. Yep. Well, I've never puked. I don't puke, so...
It's not your jam.
It's not my jam. My body just doesn't do it.
I don't either.
You would make a
horrible bulimic.
Oh God, and I've tried.
Business, you almost have to be.
God, right?
Oh, geez, it's so much easier. You got a photo shoot. Oh, I gotta throw up.
And I can't.
Pump my stomach, quick, somebody.
Yeah. So my pregnancy was pretty simple, but I will say it was hard, and it was hard because once you start showing, you're kind of done on camera. So I had sold
unless you're
a
already
show.
On a show, and then they
unless
put you
you're
behind,
already on a show,
and they put a pillow
they put
on
it really, behind a laundry basket or something. But I wasn't, and I had sold a show right before that to Fox, and I was like, "Oh fuck, they're gonna find out I'm pregnant." Blah 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 blah. Whatever. I ended up writing it through there, and it was hard, and it was at a weird time. I'd just done Step Brothers, I'd come off Dog Bites Man, and I just was sort of having a heat, a little bit of like I'd worked really hard, and some stuff was happening, and then all of a sudden I was pregnant, and then I just was dead to people. And it was hard. It was hard getting back.
I have some friends, our neighbors. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it's got to be really hard. And to your credit, you kind of conquered it because a lot of people don't come back.
It took a while. And I wasn't sure I would ever come back. Yeah. And it was, and especially women, it's sort of like suddenly it was like all my comedy friends, instead of like fucking with me or like doing comedy and jokes, were like, how's your baby? So how are you? Okay. And I was like, oh my God. Like my baby's great and I love my baby, but there's more. I'm still the same person.
Nothing else. It's just
at that point. And I had some postpartum issues. So the pregnancy was really easy, but then had a rough time right after. You know, just then sitting there going like, are you going
to
come
honestly,
back?
Honestly, it's so funny because it's something that somebody needs to talk about because
people talk about it.
As a husband, we go, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Your body just went through the craziest change ever.
Yeah.
You produced another human.
Yeah.
And my wife was the same. She was like, crying, and she had some depression stuff after and then kind of pulled it all together. But it was like, some people don't.
My thing was weird, and this is why, because I was very knowledgeable about postpartum depression. I was like, listen, if I have postpartum depression, I will go and I will get help. Like, I was like, very much like, I understand.
Watch
well, also, like, if I need to go see someone, if I need to, okay, fine. If I have to be put on medication, all right, fine. Whatever, it's not for me. But if that's the case... But I didn't have postpartum depression. I had this other flip side of it called postpartum anxiety, which was described as the flip side of the, like basically the other side of the coin, but no one ever talks about this side.
I never heard of it.
Exactly. And so I was like, I'm not depressed. So I don't have postpartum because I'm not depressed. But how it manifested in me is my body was like in a state of like post-traumatic stress disorder. So it wouldn't go to rest. So I couldn't fall asleep. Like couldn't.
That sounds horrible.
It was torture. And so I would get in bed, and the second my eyes would start to close, I would be like, and I would wake up. And so I just stopped sleeping. And it was like, already you have a baby and you're like so tired.
You're already tired.
You're already tired. And then when she was sleeping and then we got a baby nurse and like to help, whatever, I was just up. But I was sitting there going, I don't have postpartum depression because I'm not depressed. I'm crying and feel shitty because I haven't slept. So
sounds honestly worse than postpartum depression.
It actually was. They're both terrible. But because it didn't manifest in the way that I had sort of like thought it would, I didn't necessarily recognize it. And I was like suddenly in the anxiety. Then I was like, well, I have an anxiety of taking something for it too. Like it all just jumped on top of it. And I dragged it out for way longer than I needed to because I was like, well, I'm just going to take a walk and I'm going to go on a date night. I'm just going to get out. I'm going to take an exercise class because I've always been able to pull myself up from my bootstraps and, you know, it's hard, whatever. And it was like, no, it was bigger than I was.
That's so crazy.
And it wasn't until a friend of mine I'd gone to college with who was a psychiatrist in New York City who deals in like basically like postnatal issues was like, you have something called postpartum anxiety. You need to get help or you will be hospitalized because your body's not getting out of this post-traumatic stress disorder right. state. So I finally did. And then I took it and then I was fine.
So there's medicine for it.
Yep. Yep.
Well, it's like a panic attack kind of thing.
But it was not specific. Like I wasn't any generalized anxiety and I'd never suffered from depression or anxiety before.
Did you ever have insomnia before?
No, I was the fucking champion sleeper of the fucking world before this.
I remember that.
I could sleep my fucking face off.
I kind of remember
that. No, I was great at sleeping. So all of it was just like, oh, well, I guess my life's now over. Like it was very much like,
was your husband, was he like, hey, how do we fix this? Was it, it must have been a disaster.
It was really hard and he was confused and very supportive, but also just like, well, it's not depression. So what is it? And is this just now who we are? It was crazy. Yeah.
Are you just going to stay awake for the rest of our lives? I'm so confused.
Yeah.
You're just sitting, staring at me. I'm trying to sleep. This is weird.
It was rough. It was shitty.
Were you, I mean, but the baby slept with you and stuff, and so you would just lie awake?
Or? Well, no, I didn't sleep with the baby. I would sleep, like, in her room, but she was in, like, a bassinet in that one of those things, and then into
her crib.
We were
horrible. The baby was between us, which is the worst thing you're not supposed to
do. We never did it.
And my wife's like, I don't care. She's been in it. So I would have to, like, be so far on one side, because I'm terrified. I'm going to fall asleep and roll over on the baby.
And so
we got one of those
She wasn't even in our room. Yeah. So one of us would be able to... conceivably be sleeping when the other one, although I was never sleeping and you know, until
like a vampire, man.
Oh, it was awful. It was honestly, it was torture.
How long until it,
until I got somehow? Yeah. I stretched it. She was, April, May, just June, a couple months ago. July. I feel like August, is when I finally, cause I sort of got half help where I went to see someone and they gave me a little bit, but I refused to take what they actually wanted me to take.
That's my wife. She wouldn't take stuff either. They're like, here, this will help. Yeah. She's like, I'm not taking anything.
No.
Cause she was breastfeeding. She didn't want anything in the milk. She was like, she won't take anything.
Yeah. So I waited longer than I should, you know, whatever. I dragged it out. And so it was like 4.5. I mean, it was 4 months.
Women are crazy.
Well, part of it is you're not in your right mind.
I'm totally joking. It's just odd to have a woman on here because we talk so much and it's guys like, mom, my wife did this, my wife did that. But we're barely involved in the process and we bitch and moan about it to no end.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my kids.
Well, I mean, they ruin a lot.
They do.
But they're also great. I love being a mom.
You
I
do, really, right?
Really
do. Yeah.
I great. Really, really do.
Is your daughter like, why aren't I on the show? Why aren't I playing this? Why aren't I playing my own part?
No. My daughter is a kind of a shy, rule follower. Doesn't like a lot of attention on her. Yeah.
Hannah will sit every morning and she'll sing that whole Moana song like 20 times to the point where we're like, you have to stop singing it. You're killing us. And then someone will come over and you're like, hey, you like Moana? And I go, she knows the song. And she goes, I'm not singing that.
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, well, it's funny because now I feel like some people think my daughter's a bitch because she's old enough now where I'm like, no, ignoring someone when they talk to you is not
famous,
okay.
You have a TV show and now your daughter's a pain in the ass. Uh-oh, here you go. Here goes the story, Andy. Okay.
First of all.
Hey, back up.
Not famous. No one gives a shit.
No, nobody gives a shit.
No one gives a shit that I have this show. But it's not even that. It's just more like when she was younger, if someone said hi to her and she just gave them a weirdo stare, they were like, oh, she's young, whatever. Now she's 8. And it's like, so I've told her, I go, staring's not an option anymore. You need to actually vocalize a hello. You are a human being in society and you need to say hello. And you no longer, a little weird wave isn't going to cut it. And now you have to actually say something. You don't have to touch them. People always want to do a high five or a fist bump or whatever. And she just gives a look. And I'm like, I'm not going to force her to touch a stranger. But
No, that's not happening.
No.
It's so funny because only in the last couple of years did I learn to just smile at people because I felt always socially awkward and I was shy. And people aren't,
really?
They don't believe it because I was an actor and stuff. But
when were you shy?
When I was younger, I had
really?
Horrible, oh my God. I never did theater or anything through school. I couldn't even perform in front of people. I would have a meltdown. I have a panic attack where my ears would ring and I would like, everything would shut down.
My daughter, she just did this little like musical theater, very low stakes, because she's not that person.
Broadway?
She's just very low stakes. She's in Hamilton. I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
I never heard of it.
She plays Hamilton.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I know it.
Her name is Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Well, tell her they're charging way too much for tickets to her show because it's ridiculous. Nobody can afford $2,000 to go see a show. It's stupid.
Listen, you know what? If you really want to see it, you'll find the money.
Take a second loan on the house. How was Hamilton? Great. We lost our house, but the show was worth it.
It's fabulous.
Fantastic.
It's a little slower in the middle of the second act, but it picks up at the end.
It picks up, yeah. It's definitely worth losing my car for. I really, really got that. So she performed.
So she, I'll have her, like, I think it's important for her to have to like get up in front of the class or like do little things that are very, that are challenging to her, but very safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do need to be able to speak in the world. And she's starting to get more confident. It's actually pretty awesome to watch. She just did this little musical theater camp for a week and a half and they had a little show at the end and she like spoke out clearly and did it. But she had told me that while one of the days she was like, "Mommy, I heard my heartbeat in my ears."
Did that too. I totally.
And she was like, "Is that okay?" And so I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "You know what? That's something that happens when we get nervous.
We've all felt that. Yes.
But it was, she really like was like, and it was right before bed and she called me in. She was like, "Mommy." And I was like, "What's happening?" And I came in. She goes, "I have a question." Because she was worried about it clearly. She was like, "I heard my heartbeat in my ears today." And I was like, "Was it were you about to do your part?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Well, that's your palms may sweat, your stomach could hurt, you'll hear, you know, you might feel a little dizzy."
And listen, it's one thing when it's at kids' theater camp. It's another thing when you're testing for a show and you see the amount of money you're supposed to earn and you have a mortgage and two kids. And then you're like, "Why can I please stop the pounding in my ears?" Mm-hmm. I still get it sometimes. Mm-hmm. I can't control it. It just gets away from me. I'm like, "Oh, I can't control it."
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know what? I feel like that has a little bit gone away. I can't remember the last time where I was like, like really sort of.
It gets, of course, doing it longer and longer. It still creeps in and you kind of go. Oh.
Yeah.
I think I hide it better.
Yeah.
I hide it better at times. But yeah, when I was a kid, I sang once at some choral thing in like, I don't know, seventh or eighth grade. And we were on the three-step thing. And I was on the top. And I was like, trying to sing. And I'm just moving my mouth. And everyone was staring at me. Panic attack. Fell off the back. Badoosh! Huge laughter and God. Applause.
Poor little
and
Jamie.
Instead of being embarrassed about that, the laughter made me feel better. For some weird way.
And is that...
I think that might have been...
That was the moment?
That was kind of a moment where I was like, oh, I started to make people laugh.
My daughter hates when people laugh at her, even if she says something funny or something cute. And I am right now, because she's also getting the age where she's no longer little. So I'm like, you can't burst into tears because you did something cute or funny and then somebody laughs and then you burst into tears and run off. Like, that's
not okay. The thing you have to do is just accept it, just look at them and then walk away and then they'll never torture you again. Like, you're good at that. If people,
I'm talking about like something where it's funny she did. Right. And I'm saying someone laughs and
she doesn't want that.
She does not want, she's like, "Why did they laugh?" I'm like, "Because that was funny."
Maybe she's just an artist. She's in it for the, just for the craft.
Just for the craft. Yeah. I'm like, wow, she's my daughter. She does not enjoy a laugh.
The purity of a joke. So funny. I know. Now I have trouble like leaving a room if I don't get the laugh where you're like, you got to get that.
Get out.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it.
You know, it's funny because when you were shooting your show, everybody, like when we did my
our scenes were very improv-y. The poker scene was very improv-y.
Yeah. It's so much fun. Yeah. It's obviously the script, but people riff and you really encourage that. When we would do My Boys, people would try to keep buttoning. And at some point you're like, look,
the scene
none
has
of these
to
buttons
end.
Are going. Stop wasting everyone's time. Let's shoot this and go home.
Yeah, yeah.
You gave me grief in one of them. We were shooting, and I thought I was on camera, but I was not. And at one point, Andrew's like, "You know you're not on camera, right? So stop talking," or something. And I was like, "Oh, okay, I thought I was. Never mind. Okay, never mind. I'm out."
I did do that with everybody, including myself, because you forget that you're not on camera, especially it's a scene with a lot of people. And then
you're wasting time.
At a certain point, I just have to go, "Just so you know, none of this, we're not on you."
Oh,
so
no, I know.
Stop.
I applauded you. I was
Are
like,
you
no,
directing these two?
I only directed one. Yeah.
But she's show running and you wrote all the scripts.
I didn't write all the scripts. We room wrote. I had great writers, Daniel Schneider and Donna Furman and Lon Zimmet. And then my co-showrunner, Joey Slayman, who show runs the show with me, who's amazing. And she and I have just like really bonded and we didn't know each other. And thank God it worked out.
You met a ton of these people. You're a big poker player.
I do play a lot of poker. I used to play a lot more.
You used to play a lot?
Yeah. Before my daughter was born, I played a lot and I'd go to the casinos every week. In LA. Mm-hmm. And I'd make a lot of money playing poker.
I know you did.
Yeah.
People probably saw you and totally were like, oh, I'm going to gut this broad.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, ooh.
And you kind of play into it. Did you? Oh, of course.
Were you acting
Slip
right
off
out of
your
shape?
Wedding ring, 100%. And then just sort of play a little bit like, I don't totally know what I'm doing.
It's the Lucille Ball.
A little bit.
So four aces is, that's good. Not that broad, but.
How did you get
into poker? Because it's...
I think it was like when the big pooper boom. Pooper boom?
I think that's still going on.
What's so funny because I hear that my daughter's three. All she says is, you go, hey, Hannah, say hi to my friend. Poop. She'll just say the word poop. And you're like, is that going to end?
And then can I tell you, my daughter, who's such a goody-goody, wouldn't use potty humor. And somebody would say poop and she would go like, mommy, that's potty humor. Like she'd be like, no, you're not supposed to say that. Which of course then made me start doing potty humor because I was like, I got to loosen this kid up. Because she's going to be like such a bummer
at preschool. Does she work clean? Maybe she works clean.
She works clean. Woo, does she work clean.
And you work filthy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, gruesomely filthy. Does True TV have any amount of F words? And
you can't say fuck. You have to bleep the fucks, but you can say you them. They just bleep them.
Them liberally.
Yeah,
the pilot episode, she tells you to
pilot,
fuck off.
Yeah, because, but the pilot.
Pilots are okay. You can use
fuck. Well, no, because I had done a presentation first before it became the pilot, and then we actually used part of that presentation actually in the pilot.
Okay.
So it was stuff that we didn't actually know was going to ever air.
And
you can't say fuck and you can't say cunt.
So you posted a note the other day you got. God, was it? It was on Instagram or something. It was a post. And you said it was one of the notes you got.
Oh, standards and practices?
Standards and practices.
The best emails ever are the ones where because there was a thing where I'm peeing on myself. But of course you're not seeing me.
Go back it up
me.
Because it's so, I didn't know it. Jalapeno hands is a real thing.
I got jalapeno hands. It really happened to me.
Okay.
I did not pee on my hands in real life.
Okay.
Sadly. I read the comments that said pee on your hands, and I was like, that's a bunch of bullshit.
No, it's true.
No, it's not.
Because if you get a stingray bite,
no, that's
also
bullshit.
It pee on it.
Nope, bullshit.
Really?
Yep, I've looked it up like 7 times.
Andy? Andy says,
she's right. Back off.
Thank you.
Well, she went to Cornell. She knows. She knows some God damn it.
Yeah.
Cornell has nothing to do with...
So wait, I've been peeing on my hands for years now for no reason whatsoever, even when they don't hurt?
I don't know if it's for no reason. You tell me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a
it's warm.
Jorge Posada, who's a catcher for the Yankees, that was his regimen. He would pee on his hands every day because it toughened them up.
Bullshit.
That's right.
All bullshit.
Jorge
peeing on you yourself on any way does nothing other than maybe the pleasure of some sick thing in your mind or it feels warm.
Feels warm.
Yeah. It's like when you go in the ocean
in
and then
wetsuit.
You pee.
Yeah, it feels great.
Not in your wetsuit.
No, I always pee in my wetsuit.
I'm not talking about in my wetsuit, just in the ocean without a wetsuit, just in your bathing suit. And then you like go in to go to the bathroom and you're freezing and then you pee and it's really warm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so in the show, you pee on your hands.
So basically, I get jalapeno hands. What happens if you do not use gloves while you are chopping jalapenos? The oil from the jalapenos will get in your cuticles and your hands will feel like you have put them in a fire. It was one of the most painful things I've ever had, more than childbirth. No joke.
Seriously?
Well, I had an epidural, so.
Oh.
I didn't have an epidural for my jalapeno hands. So I literally, and my hands hurt so much, I couldn't like Google what was happening. My husband wouldn't wake up. It was the middle of the night. And I found out that it was jalapeno hands. And I asked my sister-in-law, who's a doctor, and she was like, oh yeah, jalapeno hands. That's a thing. Like people go to the ER for that. And I was like, what? So anyway, I was reading comments in the show. I try a bunch of stuff to do it. And then I ultimately end up peeing on my hands. So in the episode, I write, you know, Andrea is clearly peeing on her hands. This is the first thing that seems to be working or something like that. And the standards and practices, it was just a lengthy thing of like, the urine stream must be brief and something else. And you cannot see pubic hair or, and I was like, what do you think I'm going to be showing?
Like you were just going to show, is that Muff Town? What's happening?
Like
there?
We're putting a camera in the toilet and it's just aiming straight up Muffa Jean and it's just pee and pubic. Like what?
What's funny is you now know you can get away with
a lot more, evidently. But every time, because there's other stuff coming up where there's things with like nipples and this and that. And I got to find them all because the descriptions are so amazing how formal it is. We've had emails go back and forth about the craziest things. There is a photo of a woman biting a dick that will come up through this. The emails that have gone back and forth of what we can show of the shaft, the head.
Of the penis.
The penis, yes.
You can show penis?
No, it's blurred, you have to know. But I was like, but the joke doesn't work unless you know what the blur is. So why you need, either I need to kill this whole bit or you need to blur it in the shape of a penis.
I was going to say just blur it very specifically in the exact shape
of
a penis.
But then the tip was like a whole separate thing with standards and practices and emails. Literally emails with the head of True TV that was like, this is important to me. We're going to make this penis bite work. And I was like, this is the craziest email you've probably ever written.
And then
the vice president was like, this does not read as a penis. We need to make this work. Like, it was the craziest emails.
That's pretty cool. He supported you.
Oh, True TV has been awesome.
Well, I went to the premiere and I was like, oh my God, True TV stepped up. And billboards everywhere. It's crazy. Let me ask you, because I actually have to do this with my daughters because we don't say the word vagina. We have never said the word vagina. Mm-hmm. We say
what do you say?
We're so
cutesy, annoying.
No, it's bad. We just say your butt. Your butt.
Your like a front butt?
It's not. We don't say fun of this for a long time in the writer's room. I know, and I'm so embarrassed by it. We don't say front butt.
How does she know what her butt is then?
It's all one area.
No!
It's all one area!
Trust me, I know.
The answer is she does not.
This is one step away from her doing vaginal porn or butt porn and thinking it's all the same.
It's all the same, doctor. No, it's different. But here's my question is, at what age?
My philosophy was straight from the beginning.
This
you
is your
say
vagina,
things.
And daddy has a penis.
Daddy's got a penis. You've got a vagina. I have a vagina. And then in the pilot, the opening scene.
That's why I brought it up.
Took place in a Baja Fresh in real life.
And she talks about your vagina.
Well, because my daughter had asked. Well, she kept getting confused, though. And I'm sure your daughter's going to be more confused.
Trust me, I'm confused.
She kept going, wait, mommy, does a baby come out of your tushy or your vagina? And so I'd be like, your vagina. But she kept getting confused. Your daughters are going to be fucked. They're going to be like, I'm going to shit out a baby one day. So at my butt.
I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah, you should be.
But it's my wife's fault.
By the way, also, you're not alone. Because we talked about this in the writer's room a lot. Because some people call it a front tushy, which makes my stomach
hurt.
That
one sounds terrible. But we don't. And here's what's funny. Sometimes we'll be out the pool and they don't wear any baby suits. They're naked.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting on the side.
Oh, God.
Like
pulling.
Pulling everything apart and digging. And she's like, oh, I have some white stuff in here. I'm like, Kate! Kate, you need to come talk to the kids.
Oh, yeah. My husband, there were times. One time, my daughter was like splayed in front of a fan that was blowing. Mm. And it was just like, this is great. And my daughter was like, and Jeremy was like, I need to step away.
Well, they sit in the jacuzzi and they have the jets blasting them in their front tushy.
Oh,
and
God. Well, I will say that when it was stuff like that, there was a certain point where I was like, you know what? That stuff you can do in your room, but that's your private time and your private area. And it's not for doing out. Touching yourself in a certain
I'm afraid that somebody will touch her and she'll go, oh, he touched my bottom. And then I'll be like, whoa, which bottom?
Which bottom?
Yeah. I'm planning for the worst.
You dug your own hole here,
so to speak.
So to speak.
But the thing was, my daughter was really worried about how a baby comes. She still doesn't know how babies are made.
Right.
Which I think this summer we're getting ready to have the talk. Because she's 8.
I was shocked. That was the first time I'd ever seen a human born. Was my child.
Yeah. You never watched a video?
Why are we so prudish about it? No.
But we'll like blow up 100 people and shoot their heads. It's crazy.
And yet we're so weird about like, breastfeeding in public where you're like, what are you fucking crazy?
Well, I'll tell you what was interesting about, because I would say the reaction to my show has been so overwhelmingly positive of people like, oh my God, that's me. That's the conversation I had, especially that scene. But there were people that was like, that's disgusting that you had a girl say these things and in front of a little girl. I'm like,
really?
All I'm saying is how a baby comes out of a body. And I say it in a kid-appropriate way of your body. Right. This is what I said to my daughter, because she was like, my vagina hole is so small. How could a baby come out of there? And so I was like, well, and we were in Baja Fresh, and I'll never forget. And she was worried. She was genuinely like worried. And I was like, she's worried, like it's just going to pop out at any second, and then she's not going to, like, she doesn't know how it gets in there or whatever. I'd said like there's a seed or something at some point. And so basically I was like, your body's magical. And it knows when the baby's grown and ready to come out. And then it makes your vagina hole get really, really big. And then the baby can just shoot out. Which I think is actually a completely age-appropriate thing for a 5-year-old.
Way more.
And it's true. Sure. And the fact that people thought that was disgusting.
Beats the front tushy part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it blows front tushy out of the water. But then, of course, my daughter took it in and then screamed across Baja Fresh, so you have a huge vagina.
Which is such a good laugh.
Because I did say, I was like, the hole gets really, really, really,
really
big.
It has to.
Yes.
Some women have 12-pound babies.
I still think it's weird. I still don't buy it, and I went through it. But anyway, there were people who were like, that was filth. And I was like, what do you talk to your kids about then? So anyway, so my philosophy has been you just say it and it sucks the first couple times you say it. It's really awkward. And then when like they're out and they're like, my vagina hurts. And you're like, oh God, I wish I used a cuter word that nobody knew.
It's but, such a cutting word. It can't just be a cool word. Like,
but I also feel like you got to just like set up the thing like, hey, I'm going to tell it to you straight. Because other people are going to say stuff to them. You want to just get ahead of when the other kids are going to say stuff. And it's the friends who have older siblings.
I tell them everything straight except for that. I'm kind of like, they used to bathe with me when they were little babies. Yeah, yeah. They would be in the bath with me until one time I was getting out of the tub. And I even would wear, I would put like a dish towel or something over my junk to just to,
I get
otherwise
it.
They'll grab it. And And so we go get out and she catches a side glimpse and she goes, Daddy, how come you have a tail? And I was like, hey, is this last? And my wife goes, that's the last bath, that one. And but why?
Yeah, my daughter said to my husband, they were in the bathroom, public bathroom, and she was like, Daddy, why do you have such a long tushy? And what's it pointing at? Yeah.
It's good to hear that your husband has a huge...
By the way, he was pretty proud.
Yeah, honestly. When she said like, tail, I was like, I'll take tail.
No, it's weird and it's awkward. But then they get to a point where they lose their innocence and they're not, you know what I mean? And then you'll be sad.
They're going to lose it pretty soon when some kid shows them porn on the bus to sixth grade. I don't know.
Wait, what?
Our next door neighbor, their daughter was some kid. You know, kids in school have the iPhones. Oh. And so I'm talking to my buddy. He goes, you're not going to believe what happens today. His daughter's in seventh grade. Some other boy on the bus thought it would be hilarious to show everyone on the bus hardcore anal pornography. Oh God, you know, your favorite anal pornography.
Do you think it might have been?
I think it was her.
Can I tell you something that I have not told anybody that happened to me the other day? So the show premieres Wednesday night. I've not seen this woman.
Oh my God.
In 3 years. I've heard word nothing. We just graduated preschool and then we all went away. I was somewhere the other day and she walked in. And my heart was pounding out of my chest.
Could you hear it in your ears?
I think I heard it in my ears.
Essential, Andy. Nice.
I think I heard it in my ears. I was like, that woman looks kind of familiar. And then I was like, oh! And I turned backwards and crept out of the establishment that I was in before she could see me. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was like, I don't know if she knows. And by the way, I portray her in a very lovely way. Jillian is lovely in it. And by any means, but I also was like, I don't know. I haven't seen her in 3 years. I have no idea. I was like, I cannot have this conversation right now. What are the chances the day after it premieres? And it's all about her. And now I hid behind a pillar and just kept peeking in until she left so I could go back in and fish my biz. It was not my proudest moment.
This is why you don't have to exaggerate yourself.
A lot of guys who are listening to this right now are like, wow, what coffee place was that? where does she hang out at? Where's the place that she hangs out at? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to let you go off for a couple questions. Questions to end. What are some traits that you hope your daughter gets from you and your husband?
And my husband?
Or your husband. What are traits you hope that they take from you? Because the funny thing is our kids grow up and you're like, everyone thinks, oh, my kid's going to be like this. And they don't do anything you think they're going to do.
I don't know if this is a trait, but hopefully something that I hope she learns, because my stepdad instilled this in me. And it's been so important for me to follow this through my life. And it's cliche, but truly that the hardest path to something is usually the right path to take, and not to be afraid of something that it's hard. Being honest is hard. Doing the right thing is hard.
Saying the word vagina is hard.
But really listening to your inner compass and knowing what the right thing is to do and doing it.
I think it's important too in this generation, because nowadays kids are like, you know, we grew up kind of in the 10,000 hours to get good at something. And now kids are like, they'll put one video up and go like, where's my deal? Yeah. How come I'm not getting a show out of this?
Or they'll be assholes on a chat something a tweet.
Because anonymity
is a bad thing. Yeah. And the only thing holding you back will be your own looking yourself in the mirror and being able to look at yourself in the mirror and know that you listened to what was the right thing to do, knowing that it was hard and doing it anyway.
See, a little comedy, Andy, and we learned something.
I think that was a very nice sentiment.
What are some traits you hope she doesn't get from you?
I hope that, I'm a little messy. I hope she's not as messy as I am, but she's probably going to be. I would say.
Are you messy?
Not like super messy, but like when I take my clothes off, they tend to sit on the ground for like until like an hour. Like I'm just, I'm not a neat, I'm not a very, very neat, I'm not a messy, dirty person. I'm just not as neat as I would like to be.
My wife's anally clean in a way where she like can't let,
I wish I had a touch of that.
She needs to clean the house before she goes to bed at night.
Oh,
and I'm kind of like, she goes, I wish you would clean. And I go, I don't have to, you're going to do it. Because I can, I can hold out.
I would punch you in the throat.
She does. She usually punches me. That's how nights end. I get punched in the throat.
I would say I hope that she's not necessarily as itchy as I get. I get itchy from being bored or if things are too calm sometimes. I need to like get something going. And like it's, I hope that she can be a little bit more content in relative calmness and everything's good.
I think that's good too.
And not feeling that like, I get like, I need to do something new. I gotta, I get itchy.
My wife's more like that as well, where like I now, when I'm, if I'm not working, I'll enjoy the day and just go do something instead of going, I gotta do something.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're like on a Saturday, we'll be like, she's like, what are we doing with the kids? I go, we have a really nice house and a pool in the backyard. Could we just hang out? No, we got to go to the zoo. We got to go to the mall. We got to do this.
I'm not like that in terms of like, I'm happy to stay home all day. It's more like, I don't know. I get bored easily. I get very bored easily in life with, even like in people or stuff like that. Like to just sort of be able to sit.
Is she saying what I think she's saying?
But she's been here for a whole hour.
Yeah.
It's funny too, because this is almost the end.
She's done most of the talking, so she's probably not bored.
Oh, no. I am so bored of the sound of my own voice. Yeah. You have no fucking idea.
Well, you've been doing nothing but press for the last month or so.
Well, I'm in the edit room 10 hours, 11 hours a day.
Your own self.
It's all I'm doing to the point where I'm like, I cannot hear myself. I cannot look at myself. I'm so annoying, truly. And I still have another 4 or 5 weeks. And I'm like, I am awful, awful.
Well, on that, we will let you go. Than that.
This has been so fun. I'm loving a father.
She's
our honorary dad.
I love it. We should have maybe this is a good chance to have more moms on. Because honestly, I learned probably more in this hour.
More often.
Yeah, she should come every. Well, it's her show now. It's Father Time with Andrea
Savage. So
I hope you guys do well together. The show is I'm Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's on True TV. It's on Wednesday nights at 10.
Mm-hmm. Also on demand.
On demand.
Also, I think it's on Amazon, iTunes.
It's a great show.
I'm really proud of it.
With nothing to gain, might I say, it's fucking hilarious.
Oh, it is really hilarious,
you.
Andy. Yeah,
thank you
for chiming in with that. You're a sweet guy.
It's very funny.
And it's getting great reviews, and it's doing great in the ratings, so it should be around for a long time, and I can't wait to see my arc in season two. I'm going to have to re-wound my head.
Yeah, well,
We didn't even talk about that.
Continuity.
I had a horrible wound. I smashed my forehead. I walked in.
Doesn't let us know until the night before. Well, actually, that was a little bit of a fuck-up, I think, on our end, that you had told someone. But
I told someone a couple days earlier, and so I showed up, and I was like, well, we'll just put a Band-Aid on it. And Andrea was like, no, we're going to leave it open, gaping, no makeup, and we're going to make fun of you for the entire scene, which is exactly what happened to the scene. And honestly, it was the way it had to go. It was fun. It was fun. And it will always be my gaping wound head on the fucking show.
Yeah. It looks good now.
It's healing. Yeah. It's healing. It's getting better. Huge thanks to my producer, Andy Lerner, for helping me put this thing together.
Andy.
And of course, to Andrea Savage. People can come find you because your social media, you're all over it.
I've been trying.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Trying.
Instagram.
Instagram.
At Andrea Savage.
At Andrea Savage.
Twitter,
I think at Andrea Savage. I think Facebook might be the real Andrea Savage.
And
I
that's
think,
the your
the
fan
Facebook.
Page or whatever.
Yeah, fan page.
But if you just Google I'm Sorry and Andrea Savage, I think it will all come up. And truly, we pub a lot of other people's shows, but this show's really good.
I'm really proud of it.
You should be. It's an amazing accomplishment. So check it out. I'm Sorry, True TV. And thank you for joining us. And we'll catch you guys next time here on Father Time.